Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 19.
Hello everyone and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 19, Episode 4. First and foremost, again, a huge thank you for all of the feedback, the comments and the kind remarks about our endeavour into the video world with Dark Realms. I often say this is your show, you shape the show, and Dark Realms and this video venture have definitely proven that. Because Episode 1, well, it had a lot of room for improvement. Episode 2 was much better in my opinion, however the volume, from your feedback, was fine for the audio format but not for YouTube. So that will be fixed for the next episode. And it's feedback like this which is why I say this is your show. You literally provide the content and you tell me what's right and wrong about the show. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And I think it also shows that we are arguably one of the most malleable shows in terms of giving you the show that you want. You are shaping the show literally each and every week. You provide the content and you inform me how you want to consume that content. And I think that's absolutely fantastic in a world where we can literally exchange ideas between host and listener, or indeed watcher. In fact, it is literally a collaborative effort. So thank you guys for making this show better each and every week. Now, this week, interestingly, I googled a word which is often used on paranormal podcasts, and that word is, or that phrase, is liminal space. I just wanted to know what it meant. And it appears to mean that a liminal space is something which is in a place of transition. So it's between two stages, i.e., it was once an old house, it is being renovated, and during that renovation period, arguably that's a liminal space. However, it can also describe areas such as what we will discuss today. Because one variation I saw on the internet described a liminal space as a nothingness which separates two completely different types of area. And arguably, it's this nothingness that has drawn the phrase into the paranormal world. Because it's not just nature that abhors a vacuum, it's us, ourselves. We don't like the idea of nothing being in a certain place. For example, if you have a house with 18 rooms and one of them is completely barren, you'd want to know why. And your mind would automatically jump to, there must be something wrong with that room. Well, we're not talking about an empty room today, but we are talking about one of these spaces of nothingness that sits between two levels of otherness. However, this particular liminal space, and I do use that phrase very broadly in this context, is in millions of homes around the world. And I do not say that as in to say, if you have one, be afraid. I say that as pure fact. But before we move on to our experience today, we need to, of course, let you know about our wonderful team over at Patreon. When you decide to join our Patreon, not only will you receive every episode on this main feed, both ad-free and before anyone else. And that goes for season debuts, season finales, even the videos for Dark Realms. But you can also gain access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. And Dark Bites releases each and every Sunday of the year, even on the downtime between seasons. Tasters of Dark Bite are available on the pre-episode before our debut of the last few seasons, and they're basically a mix of the shorter experiences that we receive that neither fit really a minisode nor a main episode of The Dark Paranormal. It's a lot more conversational, it's more laid back, and in fact the last episode taster we put out before the start of this season received the most correspondence of any episode we've released in relation to the content. Each episode is at least 30 minutes long, and there is a back catalogue of over 100 hours of unheard paranormal experiences sent in by our listeners. And that can be yours at any time just by signing up. But the best thing about our Patreon, and I've said this over and over again because it's the truth, is the community. I talked about you guys shaping the show earlier, and in truth, I receive every comment posted on Patreon and read all of them, and that is where the shaping of the show truly comes from. We have built a wonderful community of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts over on Patreon. And we'd love to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have. Marcus E. Hudnall, Donna Marie, Tammy Allison, Abby Marr, Sandra, Mercedes Chapman, Bree Taff, Michael Tunstall, Amanda Rayborn, PT21, Viv Ross, Perry, August Flower, Samantha T, LR Tonza, Wine42, Emily, Ruben O, Victoria V, Steve End, Misty Dream, and Simon W. Thank you so much for supporting the show, guys. I genuinely mean that. We're an independent podcast. We're not part of a major network, and it just shows that you back independent podcasting. So why not find out for yourself why people are joining our Patreon, staying on our Patreon, and I'll tell you the main feedback is because it's a safe space within the paranormal community, and it's one of very few. Head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time to lower those lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear how it woke in the crawl space. Hi Kev, my name is LJ, and I've been a listener of the Dark Paranormal podcast for a couple of years now. I've had experiences with the paranormal since I was a kid, but I grew up in a Jewish household where I was always told to either ignore anything I saw slash heard, or told that I had an overactive imagination. I may have been a kid, but I didn't imagine anything. My dad would get angry if I argued about it or just brought it up in general, because that's how he was. Before I start telling my story, I just wanted to give you a bit of a warning. This is Kev speaking now, direct, this isn't LJ. LJ basically goes on to say how I should watch for spelling mistakes or grammar due to certain reasons, but I just wanted to jump in here to say both to LJ and to anyone else who may think I don't have the capability to send through a coherent story. We do not care about your grammar. We do not care about your spelling. We want your experience. This isn't school. It won't be graded in any sort of way. We just want to know what terrified you. So please, if you're one of those individuals who has an experience but doesn't feel confident enough to write it down, do not let that be a factor in submitting your experience through to the show. Language is language at the end of the day, and if you can be understood, I care not a jot in which form it arrives. So please learn from LJ's example here, and if you have an experience, send it in, irrelevant of how you believe it reads. But back to LJ's story. There are a handful of experiences that I fully remember, but the one I want to talk about today still scares me. I still can't sleep in the dark because of it. Like I said, I've had experiences my entire life. This one happened in Pennsylvania and still gives me nightmares to this day. The house I lived in was built in 1957, after the original house was destroyed by a fire in 1944. It is a beautiful house, and one of four houses on top of a hill. I don't know much about the original house, other than the fact that the basement used to be a cold storage for a while. The original town morgue was at the bottom of the hill, and almost every house nearby was built when the town was founded in the 1700s. The rest of the town was built up around the early 1900s and has remained like that to this day. There are no new builds at all, only renovating the old houses with modern plumbing and electrical things. To protect people in the story, I'm not going to name the town, and everyone else in this story will have fake names. My hometown was one of many towns on the southern slope of the Blue Mountains, near the state gaming lands. For those who don't know, that's the land specifically designated by the state for hunting. Deer, elk, ducks, geese, you name it. I loved it there, despite the hell I went through at that home. I love the pine trees, roly-poly bugs, and the blackberry bush the neighbours behind us grew. The front yard had a huge oak tree that I loved climbing, and that's actually how this whole thing started. I don't remember the exact day, only that it was raining, and my dad was sleeping because he'd worked a night shift. He would get pissed off and yell at me and my sisters, Anne and Lynn, if we woke him before his alarm went off. He'd yelled at me the night before because I'd knocked on his door to ask if he could go and get me a cup so I can drink some water. So I was trying to avoid waking him up. The few times he wasn't yelling, he wasn't a bad dad. And he even built me a little tree house in the oak tree. He was just a father of three kids ranging from 11 to 6. I had a stepmom who had three boys of her own, but she took care of them and didn't like us at all. I could write a whole horror book just about her, but that's not what this is about. Anyway, she was at work, and my stepbrothers were in the basement playing StarCraft. This was 2001, so that was still a popular game. My sisters were watching a movie, and nobody ever wanted to hang out with the annoying little kid. So I was usually left to my own devices, which to me meant reading whatever books I had. I started reading when I was 3, which is why I talk funny, according to some people. Or I'd play with my toys. But that day, I wanted to be outside, even though it was raining. So I went out and I was climbing up to my treehouse when I fell. I don't remember anything right after, as I woke up in the hospital with my dad right next to me. One of the neighbours had watched me fall from the tree and immediately called an ambulance, which woke him up. When I woke up in the hospital, he switched from worried to angry, yelling so much he was removed by the cops and had to fly my grandma in from Cali to help take care of me. I'd suffered a concussion, a broken arm, 3 broken ribs, and blood loss. Because I was so scrawny and I have anemia, I had to stay in hospital for quite a while. And between the doctors and nurses coming in, I also had people from CPS coming in. And I remember being scared and asking for my dad. I know they meant well, but I was 6. My grandma tried to help as best as she could, but it was an unfamiliar place, and strangers were asking me questions I just didn't know how to answer. So, of course, I was going to ask for the only parent I've known my entire life. That was what my life felt like for months, even though it was really just 6 weeks. During my stay in the hospital, I saw things that I couldn't understand. I saw an older woman in what I now recognise as a nurse uniform, but from the 50s or 60s. She would go round checking every other patient and adjusting their blankets. When she came over to me, she would somehow know I was awake and put a lollipop on the table next to my bed and tell me it's for when I woke up if I go to sleep right there and then. So I would. Something about her just made me feel safe. If she was there when I was awake, she would put the lollipop on the table, adjust my blankets, and I would just fall asleep. I still think about her sometimes. That nurse was the only part of that hospital that made me feel safe. There was something else that was there that I still can't make heads nor tails of, and I don't want to. I always called him the tall man with the hat, because he was a tall man who wore a hat. He was just this black figure who would just stand at random people's beds and scare the shit out of me. He never looked my way, but I knew that he knew I saw him, because he would always laugh when he went past my bed. It was one of those laughs where you just know it's directed at you, even if they're not looking at you. But every time I saw him, the person he would be looking at would be dead either when I woke up or later that same day. I haven't seen him since, but I haven't forgotten him in the slightest. And something in me tells me that I will see him again. One day. But now for the main experience. In fact, this is the whole reason why I wrote in. Let's have a quick break to ask you a personal question. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. You would not believe the amount of things that can mess with our hormones. Even nature likes to put us through hormonal changes, premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you're meant to suffer through it. And the good news is, you don't have to suffer through it anymore, because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony sells every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their over 30,000 plus reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
After I got home, I had to take it easy for a while. Since I was in kindergarten, I was only at school for maybe 3 hours before I went home. So I would go to school, come home, take my medicine, and I was told to stay inside, because I wasn't allowed in the treehouse anymore. So I watched PBS Kids. Zaboomafoo, Between the Lions, Sagwa the Chinese Siamese Cat, and Dragon Tales. They were my favourite things to watch, especially Dragon Tales. One day after school, I was waiting for my dad to wake up to help me with my schoolwork when I heard a noise downstairs in the basement. The basement was off limits, as my elder stepbrother Terry lived in the basement, and he was, pardon my language, a complete arsehole. 10 years older than me, and he enjoyed beating me up when he could get away with it. Obviously not at that time, since I was recovering from my injuries. But he still made sure to call me horrible names like Gimpy or Retard just a horrible person. But he was at school. So I thought I'd go downstairs to see maybe if something fell, because I didn't want him to blame me for anything. So downstairs I went, and it felt completely different from upstairs. The rest of the house was warm and cozy, but the basement was like a freezer. It felt heavy, like I'd entered some place nobody should be. It was like someone was telling me to leave, while also drawing me deeper into the basement. I feel I should explain. The house was a bit weird. There was a crawl space outside the house, but also one inside the basement. There was a little wall panel that came off and everything. That crawl space was where I felt like I was being pulled into. It felt like people were whispering in my ears, telling me to leave, telling me to stay. As I was about to push that panel, I was grabbed on the shoulders by someone and I screamed. I turned around and saw my dad looking at me. Not angry, but worried. He told me I wasn't allowed in the basement and to get my ass back upstairs immediately. When I talked to him about it years later, he said my great-grandmother, who died when I was 3, had approached him in a dream and told him to stop me from getting hurt, which woke him in a panic. Jews may not like to talk about it much, but we are a superstitious people, and we take things like that seriously. Anyway, I go upstairs, I do my schoolwork with my dad, then everyone else gets home around 4, and things go on as normal. But I'd hear those whispers every single day, and I'd end up going to my room because I'd feel safer there, at least for a while anyway. And then I began to see this girl in the corner of my room, and she would talk to me. We talk mostly about toys and books and what I was learning in school. She told me her name was Emily. She was around my sister Anne's age, and she seemed like a nice person. My dad said that she was an imaginary friend, and that I'd made her up because my sisters didn't like me. But I knew she was real. She would be there when I woke up, and she'd talk to me to help me fall asleep, and play with me all the time. Eventually, she told me that I could join her group of friends. But they lived in the basement, and I'd need to prove I was tough enough to join them. That they don't allow crybabies to be their friends. So something in my subconscious must have changed. It started off small. Me acting out during school, pushing other kids, yelling at the principal. Things escalated from there. And eventually, I became so hostile and aggressive that my dad was forced to have me meet with a child psychologist, who diagnosed me with autism and informed my dad about my friend. After I started seeing the psychologist, my dad would get mad and yell at me whenever I mentioned Emily. Emily told me this, or Emily doesn't like when I do that, would set him off to the point where he ended up yelling at me in front of a haircut shop at the mall. I ended up throwing a tantrum, and I accidentally cut my thumb open on one of the steel metal signs out front. That landed me in hospital yet again, not even 1 year removed from when I was last there. This time, however, I was put on bed rest at home, with iron pills and clotting agents, as well as bandages to cover my stitches so I wouldn't tear the wound open by accident. My sisters had to take care of me when my dad wasn't around, which made them mad as hell, but they also couldn't argue. One day, I woke up really thirsty, and my dad wasn't there. He must have went out to run a few errands. But I thought I'd be okay just going down to get a drink. I went downstairs to see if I could find a cup within reach, get some water, and I see a figure stood at the bottom of the basement stairs. It's Emily, with a weird smile on her face. She told me that I could join her friends now, since I've proven my toughness with my stitches. She told me to come down. I didn't think anything of it because she was always so nice. So, downstairs I went. We get to Terry's room, and there's no one there. But I again feel drawn to that wall panel. Nobody was there to knock sense into me or to shake me out of it this time. So I pushed against the panel until it fell into the wall and to the floor. And I got the full scene of how pitch black it was inside. I backed away from the wall because it just felt wrong. It was colder than anything I've felt before, and I was terrified. I had a good reason to be, because I saw Emily coming out of the wall, but she looked different. Before, she was a pale girl in a yellow dress with brown hair and green eyes. But now she was white as a sheet. Her hair was all scraggly and unkempt, her eyes milky white. Zero hint of any colour in them at all. This version of her was evil. I knew it there and then, and I definitely know it now. She came out of the wall and smiled at me, telling me I could be friends with her now. I just sat there, frozen in place. Next thing I remember, she grabbed my arm tight and was dragging me to the hole in the wall. Then my dad came into Terry's room, shouting something in Hebrew. I don't know what it was that he said, but it was enough for her to let go. My dad rushed me out of that house and drove 2 hours to see the nearest rabbi, who gave him bottles of blessed oil, a small vial of sand from the Dead Sea, and a mezuzah. A mezuzah is a small handwritten scroll with a verse from the Torah encased in a small box, usually made of olive wood, pewter silver or gold, that's placed on the frame just outside the front door of your home. In some cases, they can be placed inside the house, which is what happened with me, but that's a rare occasion. The rabbi also prayed over me, anointing my head with oil multiple times before he would let my dad take me home. I wish I could say that was the last time I saw Emily. But it wasn't. Even with the mezuzah, I would hear her voice through the vents, telling me she wasn't done yet, and that I was hers. Then she started to go after my stepbrothers and my sisters, trying to get them to help her. Terry ended up moving to Florida to live with his dad, so I never saw him again. But his brothers, Alan and Zeke, were still there. And they were getting angry with me because of Emily. I lived in terror for another full 2 years before the last incident happened. I had just turned 10 and was left alone because my elder sister had been dealing with a pretty bad drug addiction and she was getting violent with everyone. So she was being sent to a group home by the state to address the underlying issues. Everyone else was seeing her off, but my dad said that I was too young to go because of how serious this was. So I was left home alone. I'd been left home alone a few times, so I didn't think anything would happen. I'd been doing better at school, and things were getting better with my psychologist. I was diagnosed with Asperger's, but my appointments were down to once every other week and I felt lighter overall. I guess my good mood made me vulnerable because Emily showed up. My fourth grade teacher had assigned us to read 2 chapters a day from the book Hatchet, and we had to write a report each day of what we'd read to make sure we understood the story. I was doing my reading and I saw a shadow out of the corner of my eye. I turned to look. Nothing. This happened a few more times, but the shadow seemed to get closer each time until I do look, and Emily is at the opposite end of the table. The same cloudy eyes, the same evil smile on her face, I blinked and she disappeared for a moment, and then grabbed me from behind and threw me to the ground. She started choking me whilst laughing. I was kicking and trying to hit her, but nothing was landing. My head felt like it was going to explode, and I felt her suddenly let go of me. I was barely able to see anything as my head was pounding. But I made it outside to the oak tree out front. I remember collapsing against that tree whilst hearing her screaming inside. At one point, I even saw her appearing by the window of the front door. She was screaming at me to get back inside, and her face had changed again. This time, she had black veins across her skin and face, blackened teeth, and eyes that looked more black and grey. It was almost like her anger was making her look even more terrifying than before. Before you ask, no, I did not go back inside. I was dumb enough as a kid, but I learned from my previous mistakes. Instead, I waited for over an hour before my dad got home. The moment he saw the marks on my neck, he took me to my uncle's house, which is where I stayed until we moved to Arizona a few months later. I haven't been back to that house since, nor do I ever plan on going back to my hometown. I don't want to risk it. I've had multiple paranormal experiences since then, but none have ever been as bad as Emily. And I'm usually pretty good at sussing out if a place is haunted or not. I usually avoid haunted places if I can. I just want a peaceful life. Anyway, thank you for letting me tell my story. Sincerely, LJ. Edit. I was about to send this out, and I talked to my dad about it. And he told me that the cold storage room from the original house was turned into the basement of the new house. Emily was apparently the daughter of an affluent judge. She died as a teenager from the Spanish flu. The cold storage room was used to house bodies from the nearby towns when their morgues ran out of room. And hers was one of the bodies that was sent over there. I guess her spirit never truly left, and she was either evil already, or she got angry and became that thing that I survived. Either way, I'm glad to be away from her, and I hope I never see her again. Once more, thank you for letting me tell my story. LJ. Wow. Firstly, LJ, I often talk about authenticators on this show, i.e. things which, when I read through them, there is something within them that just shout authenticity. And your entire experience shouted that to me, which is why it featured and actually pushed another experience to probably season 20. You touch on a very interesting, almost theory, if you will, about this idea of a sort of spirit who is unhappy with their final resting place. And it is not necessarily a trope, but it's definitely something which features frequently more in the elder ghost story. There are many stories from Ireland of people in the same situation. They have a loved one who passes on, they're not buried in the correct manner or given the correct rituals or rites, and they come back to almost right or wrong. And I mention Ireland because they were the stories I was exposed to growing up. But cultures around the world report the same phenomena. And without getting too philosophical on it, because who would want to do that? But I have many friends who say things like, when I'm dead, I don't care what happens to me, throw me over the backyard, etc., I'm dead. But it would appear that when you do die, at least in certain traditions or cultures, the soul is meant to go out in a certain fashion. And if that's not done correctly, as appears to be the case here, it will come back and let you know. Or in your case, it will come back and arguably torture you. But I do wonder if that's because this is the spirit of a young girl themselves, and they don't understand why they are there, they can't articulate what needs to be done, and therefore it transforms as rage or aggression or trying to get other kids to join them. And that is a very off-the-cuff, as-I-speak interpretation of what may be. But none of us truly know. I will say, LJ, thank you for providing an experience that has so many points to jump off and take a thought that it really is going to stick with me for quite a while. So genuinely, LJ, thank you for providing your experience. You state you have more. We would all love to hear them, whether they be minisodes or included on our Dark Bites for Patreon. But please do send them over. And of course, the address for all of our listeners is contact@thedarkparanormal.com. So please join me next week. I can't believe already for the midpoint of season 19. And until then, remember, stay safe. And if you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next week, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.